When you were there ready to film,
yeah,
and Gavin walks out, what went through your mind?
It was a bit of a shock because I hadn't really, I just wasn't expecting it because he was quite sort of grotesque and you're sort of looking, because they'd done all these freckles on his face and he just looks like a different person. I don't know what, it was Tia, the makeup girl, had sort of done this number on his face and he just looked like this brat. It was just so strange.
Hi everyone and welcome to episode 2 of the Aussie Comedy Legends podcast. This week I'm so excited to have the wonderful Anne McCaffrey French on the show. She's an actress and voiceover artist that's been on many TV shows and films over her fantastic career. Of course, we all know her recently as Auntie Helen, who played such a great role alongside Chris Lilley's Gavin on Lunatics. Anne, welcome to the show and thank you so much for giving us your time.
It's an absolute pleasure, Joel. Thank you for having me on.
Not a problem at all. So I'm going to jump straight into it. It's how crazy has the past few years been for me, from when starting to film Lunatics to when it was released and the months after?
Yeah.
It's been such a big hit, has it?
Yeah. Well,
what's it been like?
I just found out that it was the number 2 series watched on Netflix in 2019.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
The Witcher, is it called The Witcher, was first and then it was Lunatics. Not bad.
And that would not surprise me because it has, I think, one of the most incredible, loyal, and just not crazy in a bad way, but crazy as in almost, I don't know what the word, like people were just so obsessed with the show.
Yeah. It was so interesting, wasn't it? Yeah.
Oh, it was amazing. And it was instant. It was.
Yeah, no waiting for week after week. Yeah, it's like you can binge the whole lot.
That's right. And just to give some context, we were talking before we started about the Facebook page I run.
Yeah.
That you know.
Yeah.
And just so people know exactly the type of craziness that happened when it was released, I've been a Chris Lilley fan ever since he started.
Yeah.
From back when he was doing sketch comedy.
Yeah.
And I started up a fan page probably, well, it was months before Lunatics I even knew existed.
Okay.
Before I even knew they were filming it. And it had maybe 500 followers.
Yeah.
And that was great. And
that's
then
good, yeah.
As soon as Lunatics dropped,
I
instantly was hooked and I started just posting meme after meme after meme.
Yeah.
And it grew to 50,000 in maybe 2 weeks.
No.
Yeah. And to put that into perspective, I had another page that I was working on every single day and it took me a year.
Yeah. Oh my God. That's mental. So
it was, and I've got nothing to do with the show, but you could just feel it. People were just bubbling.
Yeah.
They wanted to talk about the show, just they identified with a character and you know, I had my inbox blowing up and I had nothing to do with the show. So I can't imagine what it was like for you guys living that.
Yeah. It might be a little different for us because we're not really involved in the promotional side of it. It's just, I guess, I think particularly with my character, because Gavin was a young boy, I think it was young people that really liked his character the best. And so it's young people who maybe recognize me. Like my son's school. I've got a son who last year was in year 10. And his friends were very excited. And I was able to take him to the screening of Lunatics.
Oh, that was something I was going to ask you.
Yeah.
Because we're talking throughout the week and we both had sons.
Yeah.
I was going to ask you how old they were and if they've seen the show because I know one of the biggest followings was from high school.
Yeah.
Like people in high school identifying with Gavin.
Yeah.
So what did he think of it all?
Oh, they loved it. I mean, they have to love it because I'm their mum. They're the right age. Like I've one son now, he's 16, the other son's 21. And we just binge watched it. As soon as we got home, we watched the first episode at the screening. And that was all very exciting. And then as soon as we got home from Queensland, that was, the screening was in Surfers Paradise, I think it was. And then when we got home, we just, I think, yeah, that's right. It was screened on the 19th and then it was dropped on the 20th, or it was either screened on the 18th and then dropped at 12 o'clock, you know, the next day. So we got an advanced screening of it. Yeah.
And was that close together?
Yeah, really close. Yeah. Yeah. It was so strange. It was really surreal because we filmed it the year before. I think it finished filming in July in 2018.
Yep.
And it was like, oh, well, when's it going to come out then?
It must be odd having that big gap because I guess you've sort of filmed and wrapped and then you're moving on to other things. Is that?
Yeah.
Does it sort of get that way?
And it's like, did that happen? Did it happen? I don't know. And then it's the fear of, oh gosh, maybe it won't come out, or maybe something's happened, and or maybe you'll be cut. You know, maybe your character will be cut. Oh gosh.
Oh, it must be such a hard thing to go through in your mind.
Yeah, that happens. I mean, it happens to people a lot. You know, they go to sleep and they're in, and they're not in it.
Oh my goodness, that'd be heartbreaking.
Yeah, it would be. I would have been absolutely devastated.
Oh yeah. Oh no, not I couldn't. You guys had such good chemistry. It was just,
he was so annoying.
This is so perfect because I was going to ask you, and this is from I guess a parent to another parent.
Yeah.
Once again, of boys. I think what came across so naturally, with your character to me, just as a viewer, was. You had such a caring nature towards Gavin. Like your dad, the dad was a bit of a grump. The female cousin,
my daughter Millie. What's her name on the show? Clementine.
She absolutely hated Gavin.
Yeah.
So it was kind of yourself and Dylan that had Gavin's back, and there was times in there when you're really, really sweet to him, and are you okay? And then there was times where you had to be really tough with him when you. You know, when he took the red car away.
That was when I really did get angry at that point because he was just annoying me. And there's one point you can sort of hear in my voice where I'm saying, get out. And it's because he's so rude and I'm not used to that as a person because my kids are quite polite and I don't know, kids are generally not as rude. And I was getting quite frustrated. Yeah.
So the caring side was easy to draw on that from your own kids, but it's like I said, all of these shows always feel so real, and that did feel like just natural reaction. Like, and so it's really cool to hear that you were actually annoyed in that.
I mean, because he does it so well, and because that's what he's trying to do, he's trying to sort of draw a real reaction from you, so he'll do something surprising and then they'll be able to film a real reaction from you. He'll say something funny and it's, you know, you can't help but react naturally to that. And so
there's genuine times there where you don't know what he's going to say.
Yeah, there's a script, but certainly he's an improviser, isn't he? That's what he does, and I think that's what he sort of encourages people to do, so we can get a naturalistic performance out of everyone, because it's like a mockumentary series. And otherwise it wouldn't work. It's got to sort of seem spontaneous and fun, and it was, I mean, because everyone was so nice as well. Everyone on set was amazing. Amazingly nice and kind, and they must have been exhausted because our bit was the last segment to be filmed, so they filmed them all in, so they filmed them all in blocks, and ours was the last one because everything else was filmed, I think, in Brisbane or around Queensland.
When I was talking to Stan, he was saying because his show Summer High Tide, it was different characters as well. Did you have any idea about the other characters, or
no idea? Absolutely not. It was kept very under wraps. Because things get leaked. You know, what was it, the Game of Thrones thing that was leaked, and Orange is the New Black, that was a Netflix series, wasn't it, that got leaked. And people are desperate to leak stuff, and so they were very careful. Yeah.
Oh, so that's more, it's not so, okay, so it's
I
more to keep things under wrap a bit more.
I don't know. Maybe it is just to make sure that you're just in your own world, but it also is to make sure that nothing's spoiled, because it's just awful to have things spoiled. It's pointless.
Oh, especially when so much hard work goes into it.
I know. I mean, my goodness, he wrote it and directed it, and I'm sure he had a lot to do with piecing it all together as well.
Yeah.
So it's like a difficult baby, you know. It's very, very difficult, and he must have been very stressed up. You'd never know it, not in a million years, because
really,
just
really calm.
Yeah, just calm and kind. He was always kind with the kids, and I think that's the mark of a nice person if they're nice to kids. He was never frustrated with them at all. Not that they were at all frustrating, but if you're tired, you know.
Oh, and like you said, you've got so much on your shoulders, you'd think that would be the person with the most stress.
Absolutely. And he was very, very kind. I've actually, I was on, what's it called, Angry Boys, very, very briefly.
I saw, that was going to, so what was that like?
It was just really briefly. It was when, it was the two, you know, the naughty boys again. You know those two little boys?
The Sims the brothers?
Yeah.
Because I did see when I said you played a character called Deb.
Yes.
On Angry Boys, and I was like, wow.
Yeah, but it's like a photograph. It's just a photograph. It's just, do you remember the Sneaky Nuts bit?
Yes.
Yeah, it's one of them.
Oh, you're kidding.
I'll send you the screenshot of it. My friend sent it to me a couple of years ago. Yeah.
Oh, that'd be great.
It's slightly obscene, though, so post it on them. Yeah, but it's funny. It's just so weird. And that's what that was the first thing he said to me when I got on set. He said, oh, do you remember that you were in Angry Boys? And I was like, yeah, of course I remember. But he was just being nice. Yeah.
And I'm fascinated by how it all works. Did you ever see him out of character, or was he always as Gavin?
Yeah, because he was directing, so he had to swap in between. So, he just would slip into it.
Well, that's in the interview he did do, he said, I think he didn't even know what the voice was going to sound like until he started filming.
Really?
Getting to sort of go, you know.
Yeah.
This is definitely Gavin. I'm not talking to Chris D'Elia.
Oh, God, no. It was really, really easy. And I don't know why. I don't know how he does it. It's a really odd thing to be able to talk to him, because he's dressed as in character, and you talk to him.
Yeah.
And then he goes into character, and it's very, very easy just to react to him. And I think that's it's done on purpose. You know, he does it so that you can react to him. You know, he doesn't slip out of character to direct very often. Because otherwise it would break the spell of it. He's got, you know, a whole team of people, you know, ADs and camera directors and everyone to do that job for him. But if he needs something specific, then I guess he'll sort of go into Chris Lilly mode. But it was never anything jarring. It always seemed very, very natural. Yeah, it's a really weird experience, but it's so easy. It's so easygoing, and there was no stress about it, which is unusual sometimes.
Well, I was going to say, I really love, I believe you posted the blooper of when his pants fell down, I shared that on my page in the lead up to this. I love that because it was such obviously a real moment because it was a blooper, but I think I even heard him say, sorry about that, Auntie Helen. So he was still in the role.
Yeah.
And I love that your reaction was just awesome.
Well, I was a bit worried because that we'd sort of improvised that bit, like he'd fallen over and it wasn't in the script that I told him to get up.
Oh.
And so I said, come on up, you get. And then his pants fell down and I thought, oh, my God.
What can happen?
But we did that shot in one take, so they just used that one. We just moved on. So,
oh well,
yeah. I wasn't wondering actually whether they'll use it in the actual thing, but maybe not because I was laughing.
Are there many takes, or is it pretty quick? Does he work pretty quickly?
Yeah, it's because
you do hear about people that are really pedantic, and you know, 100 takes per scene.
I personally didn't do many takes. I remember one time he said, oh, do you want to try it another way? And I was thinking, oh God, why do I have to do it another way? Is it bad? And he was very complimentary and very nice. And you know, that's because he's a nice guy and everything. But I didn't like to say, oh, well, can I try it this way? Actually, I was too shy to do that. But I think
it'd be hard.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm not very good at doing that sort of thing. I'm not very, confident when it comes to that sort of thing. And I was quite happy, I think, with what I'd done. I didn't want to, you know, you don't want to make it sound actory and like you're not saying it. You just want it to come across as real. And I think because the character was so similar to how I would be in real life, you know, I'm quite a gentle person.
Yeah.
It was like, oh, this is me. This is made for me.
That's so good. And like I said before, 100% comes through.
Yeah, that's good.
It was just one of my favorite combinations on the show. It was I think it was just the perfect dynamic of, you know, when you're like, come on, out you get, come on. He's like, why though?
but why though? Oh, God.
Have you had anyone coming up saying things like that?
Not really. I sometimes get teachers, because there's lots of young teachers who have said, oh, are you so-and-so, and they'll get a picture.
I'm sure if you went to high school.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, that's the ones that will – I think that's the audience. It's sort of teenagers and kids around Gavin's age, I guess.
Yeah, and that was the other thing that really I noticed too is you've got people from as young as – oh, my goodness – beginning high school age to people my age who know have been around since he started and it's almost like the second generation is following him, and it's a whole new wave, and it's really interesting to see, especially play it on social media, you know.
My younger son's era was the Jonah era. He was obsessed with him. Absolutely. They would quote him. Oh, God, it used to do my head. But, I really loved that character. I grew up in New Zealand.
Really?
Yeah. I know. You can't tell the accent. But I went to drama school in England, and they didn't like accents there. But there was a lot of kids who had the same sort of problems as Joni, that sort of like hyperactive type kid. Like climbing on the walls, and it just, he reminded me so much of that sort of kid, and it was so sad. I found it so sad.
Oh, me too. Oh. I always say to people, because I get asked a lot what my favorite show is. And I love Some High Tide, but I can't watch Jonah from Tonga without choking up.
Yeah, it's just tragic,
or
isn't it?
Or tearing up, because it's so, like you said, it's so relatable.
Yeah.
Or anyone that's, you know, has worked with kids or has them, been around them or has them themselves.
Yeah.
Such a relatable character, and you just feel so bad.
You want to help him. You just think,
that's right.
He's good, and he's, you know, he's,
exactly.
He just does the wrong thing. It's like Gavin. But then again, Gavin at least does the right thing in the end, sort of.
Yeah, exactly. He ends up sticking up for for Dylan and handing over his earlship. I don't know if that's the word.
I don't know either. I don't know,
once again, though, in that scene got me. I was sitting there and I was like, oh my goodness.
Really? Oh, it didn't get me. I was just ashamed. Oh, it was funny. The bit, I love the bit when he comes down the water slide and it's just so underwhelming.
Yeah, he's spending all this time on the big show. That's what he does.
Oh, God. And it was so cold, man. Oh, my God. It was freezing. Yeah.
It's like, because it wasn't shot in England, was it?
It was shot in Tasmania.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
it was just as cold as England, though.
Well, I was going to say, it was an amazing job to get the realness. It was a lot. The scenes were a lot darker than the other scenes of Joyce.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, people, I had friends in England say, when did you come to England?
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. Because you just don't know what you don't know. Yeah. Yeah. You just believe it. And it just has so many qualities of the UK, Tasmania, I suppose, because of all these
really?
Big homes. Yeah. Yeah. It's cold and wet.
Well, I'm fascinated by how he assembles his cast.
Yeah.
Because I know he uses a mixture of actors.
Yeah.
And sometimes he'll pull somebody I've heard.
Yeah.
Not off the streets.
Yeah.
But like, yeah. Just somebody he'll see in real life. And
yeah.
He goes, they're perfect for the part.
Yeah.
How did you go about getting the role? Was it your agent setting you for the part, like for an audition?
That's what it was. I think it was coming to the knuckle because I think he wanted somebody real. I don't think he wanted to use an actor. I don't think he likes using actors. I think he'd rather use people who are not actors because actors, they act, and sometimes I think it doesn't work as well. It doesn't come across as real, maybe. I don't know. I'm not absolutely sure. But I don't think he could get anybody, certainly not with a British accent and not with the I'm not posh, but I can talk posh. You know what I mean? My parents are quite posh, so I know how to talk well. And there's not many of those here. I don't know if you've ever heard of the website Star Now.
Yes.
It's a casting website. And I saw the advert and then it didn't say what it was for. It just said it was filming in Tasmania and blah, blah, blah. And so I applied for it. And also my agent had sent me for it. And they both contacted me. The agent, I got an audition, and also they contacted me on Star Now to say, are you the same person? I knew immediately it was Chris Lilley. I just knew from the writing. Yeah, I didn't. They were very careful about not putting names on. And I didn't say anything. Oh, God, no. No, it was all very secret. But because I'd read for a character in Angry Boys, it was the one that he was a surfer.
Blake.
Yeah.
Oh, Blake's what?
His wife? I read for her years ago.
Wow.
And the script was so funny. And it was just the script. Oh, my God. And I remember writing at the casting and they said, if you wanted to play any of the other characters. And I said, yes, please. And it was so, you know, his style of writing is, you know, everyone's style of writing. Everyone's got a style of writing. When I read it, I knew who it was.
That's incredible. And I just knew right away.
Yeah. And I was so, please God, let me get this job because I'm a real fan of him. Obviously, I didn't say because I was too embarrassed, but.
No, but that's so cool. Yeah. That's so cool because it's the complete opposite. When I was talking to Stan, he said he had no idea.
Oh, really?
He
didn't
even, he said he said Chris could have been sitting next to him. He wouldn't even have known.
Sure.
He said that played in his favor because they didn't, I think at the time, they didn't want anyone.
Yes.
That was trying to do what they thought they wanted.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's really cool. So you were, like you said, you were a fan, you went for it.
Wow.
So what was it like? You go for the audition.
Yeah. Oh, gosh.
Do they give much away or
no.
Do you walk away thinking, I don't know if I did good or bad?
Look, casting directors in Australia are really nice. They're really kind. Yeah. And sometimes you walk away and thinking, I've got that job, but you don't. It's just that they're really nice. They're always really supportive. And that's how it should be. It should be supportive because they're trying to get the best out of you. In the UK, some casting directors could be very powerful and not so kind. And so, it's amazing. When you cast here, they're just trying to be really supportive and they never make you think you did a bad job.
That's amazing.
And, they're just trying to get the best out of you. It's Alison Telford and she, I can't remember her assistant, but her assistant was playing Gavin and they would just guide me in the direction because at first I thought, obviously I've got to be frustrated. And they were saying, no, it's not about that. It's about sort of dialing it back. And then, I've realized, she's like me. I mean, that's how I parent. I don't shout. I never shout at my kids. I don't like shouting. and if you talk to your kids respectfully, you don't need to get angry. But then I'm also quite gullible. And I think that's sort of a similar thing. And I don't think, I certainly haven't come across a naughty boy as naughty as Gavin. And it was such a shock.
I think it'd be very rare.
Yeah. And then you don't know what to do. How do I talk to this child? I I love him because he's my relation and he's also not my child. So I can't particularly reprimand him. I don't know.
That's such a hard thing to think about that. That is difficult, isn't it?
Yeah.
To get into that mindset
But I think they purposefully choose people because I think I come across very motherly. I think that's my aura, whatever it is. It's I'm a kindly kind of person. I'm a gentle person, even though the role I play with Stanley is the opposite to that.
Yeah, one of the things that I've always thought, because obviously I'm not an actor.
Yeah.
And whenever I've even entertained the idea.
Yeah. Do it, I get it. Just do it.
Oh, my goodness.
Do it. I
just think of the audition process and immediately I go, oh, no.
You'll be fine.
Because I'm a horrible interviewer just going for jobs.
Oh, okay. You get nervous? Nervous. Oh.
Yes, big time. Yeah. So I was wondering, what is it like? What's it like for you? So you've gone gone through the audition process.
Yeah, and then second audition.
And then you get a call back.
Yes, the second audition. Yeah, and that was much more... There was much more dialogue. So the first audition was just, I think, a page of dialogue and a little bit of improv. And then the second one was considerably more and much more, I don't know, there was much more to it and there was much more improv. And then there was like a chat to camera. And I think the fact that at the time I did a bit of, tour guide. For a little while I was a tour guide and that went well because, you know, she was doing tours.
Yeah.
And I think that certainly worked in my favor.
That's great.
It's yeah.
And so when you find out you've got the part, is there obviously you'd be imagine you'd be so excited. Do you go from excited then to now I've got to play the role, or are you just so
stoked? it was just thrilled. I couldn't believe it. It was just I can't believe it. Because it was late at night. My agent called me, and your agent never calls you late at night. And he called me late at night and he just said, you got it. And I thought I hadn't. Thought I hadn't got it because I can't remember what made me think I hadn't got it. But it was just, I thought there was a certain date that I had in my head that I would hear by, and it came and went. And I thought, well, clearly it's not there. And I phoned my agent and sort of tried to ask, well, have you heard anything? And he hadn't heard anything. So I just thought, oh, well, that's nothing. It's gone. And then I got it. And then things moved very, very quickly. It was like the deal memo came and it was just amazing. And then it was just learning. And I've got a lines learning app because I work for a company that uses actors in HR training situations. And I have to learn a lot of scripts for that. And so I just put that on my scripts and my script line learner and did that. And then my sons would do it with me. And made sure I was off book because I wanted to make a good impression. And it was just so important. It was just so important to me because, I'm such a fan and I knew it would be just an amazing experience, you know.
It was so amazing to hear it from a perspective of somebody who was a fan before.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I can't even imagine what it would be like to go for it, get the role.
Yeah, it was nerve-wracking. And when we went to the screening and I took my kids along and they obviously were desperate to meet Chris Lilley and, I'm so ashamed. I was so nervous to go up to him. I didn't go up to him. And so he was taking pictures with the kids and everything. And my kids were saying, go and talk to him. And I was, okay. And then he was gone. And I just felt so bad. And I wrote to him and said, I feel so awful that I didn't come up to you. I just want to say thank you so much for the opportunity. And he wrote back and he was very kind. And he said, a senior person at Netflix had singled me out and said that he really liked my character. So,
what amazing feedback.
It was great. I mean, and that's Chris Lilley though. You know, he is the sort of person that would make sure that he does that. He'll give you good feedback. He just
That's
is that
really
kind of
good.
Person. Yeah, he's just a kind guy.
Well, I got to say, he's so even just from what I've done in the past year, he is so generous because there's myself and there's a few other accounts on Instagram that run sort of fan pages and do the memes. The one that I talked to the most when it was all blowing up was Chris Lilley memes, and he followed us, and then like that we're just like, oh my god, he's following. and then he started sharing memes we would make, and he does not have to do that at all. I mean,
oh my gosh,
he owns everything.
Yeah,
I mean, it's all his. The pictures, whatever he uses, are his.
Yeah.
But he would tag our accounts and always make sure he gave us credit. And we're talking amongst ourselves, just going, how nice is this guy?
Yeah.
Like, he didn't, by rights, he does not have to do that. But yes, it's just incredible.
I think that's because he gets it. You know, he started off himself just doing bits, didn't he? I imagine. Was he a stand up? Did he start off doing stand up? I can't remember.
The first ice. I think he might have.
Yeah.
I know he did get asked if he'd ever do sort of like ever go out and do a stage show.
Whoa, that'd be cool.
Or stand up.
Yeah.
I know the first time I saw him was when they had an Aussie sketch show called the Big Bite.
Oh, yeah.
In Australia.
Yeah.
Yeah, I first saw him on there doing, and that's he brought out early characters like Mr. G was on that show.
Yeah.
And he had some characters that you could, when you go back and look at it now, you can sort of be like, oh, that's a bit of that character.
That's him.
It's a bit of that character.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure exactly where he's first started at, but I know his TV was like that. And then, of course, he started doing his shows that just.
Yeah. It's so interesting.
Timeless classics.
Yeah. I think his female characters, the way he writes his female characters that he plays, are really interesting. I just, where does he get them from? Like Joyce, where did he get Joyce from?
Oh my god,
it was genius. That was my favorite. She was my favorite. I just thought when she wrote on that whiteboard, you know, and she was having a conversation, and it was
to herself.
It was so sad. And I was so when we were watching the series, and I was thinking, if she doesn't do well, and if something bad happens to her, I'm gonna be really angry.
I think. So many comments about that. It's just like, you know, when she's calling in for Les and everyone's thinking, you know, she's crazy.
Yeah, and it comes at the end. Oh, I love that one. I'm soppy, but I love that.
No, that was definitely amazing. Yeah. And the scenes when she's singing with her dad on the TV.
I find that hard to watch. It's too sad. It's terrible. I lost my own dad.
I'm so sorry.
Actually, just before we went to the screening, and it was so painful to watch.
You know,
he was old and he was very, very sick, and it was not unexpected, but it's still like you think, oh,
it doesn't
God.
Make it any easier, would it?
No, it doesn't really, But it's just so, you know, I could relate to her.
Yeah.
As she is, I just.
Yeah,
I loved her.
You're looking at her thinking, you're in a lot of pain. Like,
she's in pain, and she's so, you know, they're throwing her out of her house, and I've got a horrible situation going on myself that's just rather similar, and it was all sort of like, oh, my God, it's me.
Real lot. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Oh. But that's what he does. I mean, he gets bits and pieces from lots of different people. I'm sure that's what he must do is collate characters from real situations.
And a lot of them, especially when you mention the female characters, so many of them, you could pass them on the street and not second question.
Yeah, that's weird.
Second guess it. Like,
yeah.
He's so good. And especially when he plays an older characters like Gran.
Yes.
And even Pat Mullins.
Oh, she's my favorite.
Oh,
I love her.
The matter, like just the facial expressions, the tone in the voice, and you think,
it's these sort of, you know, that sort of thing that he does sometimes. Yeah. Think, oh my god, that's real. Yeah, Pat Mullins. Oh god, I know the guy that played her husband. I saw
Terry.
That's right. He owns a cattery, I think, not far from where I live.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that was such a believable couple.
Oh god, it was brilliant. I don't think he's an actor. I don't know how he got cast, but I was so shocked when I met him because I thought, oh my god, you're the guy. Yeah, and because that was such a terribly sad storyline.
Oh yeah, that one was too, wasn't it?
Yeah. Poor old Pat Mullins. Oh, that was so funny.
Oh, just brilliant.
Yeah. Yeah. That, oh, I really loved that, that We Can Be Heroes. That was We Can Be Heroes, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that was, I'm pretty sure when that one came out,
yeah,
there were people calling up thinking it was a real documentary.
No.
Yeah, I'll have to, I'll have to look at it. I swear. So I remember the same thing happened. The same thing happened with The Office, the UK version of the original Office. Oh yeah. BBC, their switchboard blew up with people calling up going, "Who is this David Brent idiot?"
That's hilarious.
I've heard talk about it a few times.
Oh, that's mad. Oh, I have to look that one up. That's hilarious. But people do believe. It was when people actually believe someone's who's a baddie on a television show is a baddie in real life. It's just.
I watch shows with my wife so often, and she gets so like, "Oh, I just cannot stand that character." And I go, "Yeah, it's almost like they wrote the script that way, isn't it?" I always rib her about that.
Yeah,
she gets very emotionally attached to a character.
Yes, I completely understand there because they do, and then I get angry.
What's up, guys? Just taking a quick break from the amazing Anne McCaffrey French. What an amazing person! I hope you're really enjoying listening to her story. Just remember, guys, check out the Chris Lilly Fans Facebook page. That is what makes this podcast possible. Also on Instagram, ChrisLillyFans06066. I always drop exclusives there as well about who will be on next. So keep an eye out on those pages. And I've also just created a Facebook page for the podcast. It's called Aussie Comedy Legends Podcast. So look those things up. Please like, follow, and share. I really am enjoying your support and feedback. I'm new to this, so any feedback is helpful. So I'm not going to take up any more time because I want to get back so you guys can listen to the rest of the podcast. Because like I said, Anne is an amazing person, and I enjoyed every second of recording this podcast. But yeah, the first time I saw you wasn't actually on Lunatics, but I kind of, when I saw Lunatics and then made the connection and then watched it, it was actually a show called Rostered On.
Oh, right.
Yeah. And I really love that show because they were kind of a show that they didn't really have, I'm guessing, a big backing. They kind of built it themselves up. Like they did it from, I think, YouTube and Facebook and they really built their own following.
That was Ryan's baby, Ryan Chamley, who's so not, oh god, he's such a nice person. I managed to get both my children in the second series. One was a runner, and one was in one of the funniest scenes in the second series, and that's just from his kindness. You know, he's a really, you know, another Chris Lilly type, you know, very driven, but just awesome. You know, a kind person. He's got four kids, and I just think, man, how do you do this? How does he do it all? But yeah, it was just we did it. When I say we, I was had a very small part in it, but he wrote this thing, put it on Star Now. And we filmed it in this shopping center in a sort of like a seaside town in Geelong. And, you know, people helped him out quite a lot, I think, with, you know, getting things on for the cheap because, you know, I think specifically he'd do things for them, they'd do things for him. And then he put it on YouTube and it went crazy.
It did, didn't it?
Yeah.
And that's what was so cool to see it go from the beginning and then end up with them because I'm pretty sure they landed. It's on Channel 7, isn't it?
Seven Mate, I think it is. Yeah, yeah. So well done him, you know. And I'm pretty sure he's casting for another series. Wow. It was on Star Now last time I saw. If, you know, have a look.
That's awesome.
See.
That's great. That it's...
Yeah.
And it was, once again, such a – the scene too was
– Yeah.
You know, like –
Yeah. Yeah, well, it was the only unfunny scene in the whole series, but never mind.
But but it's those type of scenes that draw people like myself, I think, like you draw that in and then I think we've all been in a situation where things are going so bad.
Yeah.
And, you know, you just, in that scene, you know, you just wanted a TV.
Yeah.
Someone gave you a break.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. And that's his character as well, Sean Paul in real life. He's a very kindly person as well. I could just imagine he would do that, you know, and then he would get sacked.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's yeah. so nice to know that there's people like that out there yes. doing shows like
oh,
this.
Oh, God, they really are. You know, most people are really nice, you know.
Yeah.
It's good. It's just, it's difficult because, you know, you think, oh, well, why can't you give me a role? But you've got to be the right person, you know. It's, casting's difficult and they want to make the best show they can and it's yeah. not necessary. My drama teacher always used to say, there just isn't a role for you, you know, don't take it personally.
Oh, that's good advice.
Yeah, but it's hard.
Give me the role.
Yeah, unless you're super famous and then you can have what you like, but yeah, not many people are super famous, so you know.
Well, it sounds like a hard graft to is it something that you always wanted to do?
Yeah, it's something I've done a long time. When I was younger, I was, you know, did school plays, that sort of thing. I used to do a bit of modeling, just catalog stuff, nothing special, but, you know, Kmart, that sort of stuff. And yeah, I used to work in a cafe in London and they used to film a lot of stuff there. And so I used to be in stupid things like, I think it was Silent Witness and,
yeah.
Oh, it was a film called Parting Shots, and it was voted the worst film of 1992. And I was in that. Yeah, lots of Pie in the Sky, I think we were in. Yeah, and then I moved to New Zealand and got a proper agent, Sharon Power, who she's actually my agent in New Zealand still and England and the rest of the world apart from Australia. Central Melbourne Talent is my agent here in Melbourne, but Sharon... Yeah. She's such an amazing person. Oh gosh, she is an advocate. She is in a similar situation to myself personally years ago, and she really goes into bat for people. She's a great agent. And I was in Lord of the Rings with my little boy.
Oh wow.
Yeah, he's now 21, but yeah.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
So what is it like going from a show, like you said, Rostered On, it was kind of, you know, they were just starting out.
Yeah.
To a set like Lunatics.
Oh, yeah, it's a big difference. It's a big, huge difference, yeah. Well, for a start, you get accommodation and flights paid for you, and you get per diems to buy your own dinner.
Yeah.
And the food on set was amazing because we were at this really nice stately home, and so they cooked us our food, so you'd get spoiled. Oh, and the hair and makeup, oh gosh, Lauren, the girl who did my makeup, had just done Aquaman, I think.
So, oh wow.
And, yeah, and she was working on people like Nicole Kidman, so she was so good. Oh god, I took photos of all my makeup because, you know, trying to replicate it because she was just so good. And when you see it on screen, it doesn't look amazingly made up, but mate, it was.
In the back, behind the scenes, it's a real big production. Yeah.
But they were so, oh gosh, everyone was so professional. And they were all, you know, properly professional people. Not that Rostered On people aren't professional, but it was just a little production company. And it's
they would have had a, you know, a budget, a big slice of budget, I'm guessing.
Absolutely certain. There was, a fair bit of budget there, for sure. And they were all going on. I think some of them were going on to do Dora the Explorer. So, they're all very busy professional team of people, but also very, very nice. You know, none of them were cliquey or nasty. Everyone was just super, super nice. And it's,
Well, that's what I was going to ask. You always hear, like in a lot of interviews, about actors sort of, and everyone sort of saying the cast was really close or they got on really well.
Yeah.
Was it like that on this one?
Immediately.
Was it just fun to turn up every day?
Yeah. Oh god, yeah. The guy that played my husband, Phil, he was so easy to talk to. And
that's great.
Then Clementine, the girl who played Clementine, and it was Dylan, wasn't it? But it's Joe in real life. Just such nice people. And then parents were there as well. So we just talk and talk. It was amazing. Yeah, I think we were really lucky that we just all got on immediately well because the kids were really nice kids. They weren't sort of drama brats. They were just nice kids. They didn't have any egos or anything. I've worked with kids before who have had egos and they're difficult to work with. But these kids just were, they were like adults in their attitude. Wow. It was great. And you could just talk to them just like you would talk to a normal person, as if they were real people, but you know, they were ratty. Yeah. And it was a pleasure. Awesome. Yeah, it was a real pleasure. The girl that plays the horse chick, I can't remember what her name is on the thing. I think her name is Jess in real life.
Yeah, yeah. I've talked to her a bit.
Oh, really?
Yeah, just over the page. She sent a really lovely message my page just saying, I'm really loving the memes and things like that. Yeah.
Yeah. She
was really great to work with.
Just so nice and so sort of cool about the whole thing. It was like, oh yeah, I'm just doing this today. There was no, you know.
I think it's just so good to hear because when you're a fan and you're watching it, you love the show so much, and sometimes you do hear that sets are just horror stories. People hate each other, and so it's so nice to hear that. It was just really relaxed and friendly.
Yeah. Look, oh gosh, that would be. I think sometimes on adverts, when you do adverts, they can be pressurized because there's a client around and. That can be a sort of different vibe. And also because I think if you're on a long-term project, people get to know each other more, whereas in adverts, usually 1 or 2 days, and then it's, you know, people don't bond so much. But
no, that's true. You got to get in there, get the job done.
But I guess
a bit more stressful.
I think so, yeah. Well, that's sort of kind of my experience. I haven't been on anything really long-term. Lord of the Rings was a few weeks. And what was Arctic Glass?
What was that like?
Oh, it was amazing. Oh, my goodness.
That's New Zealand, isn't it?
Yeah, that was New Zealand. Because, when I lived in New Zealand, when I grew up in New Zealand, and Peter Jackson lived behind us.
Wow.
Yeah, I didn't know him. I did, because he was quite a lot older. I think he's about 10 years older. Oh, I'm so sad I didn't meet him and marry him. Why didn't I marry him? Oh, God.
That's an amazing story that he's lived behind you.
Yeah. New Zealand's very small and lots of people know each other. Like Taika Waititi, he grew up in Tītahi Bay, I think for a while, and that's near where I used to live as well. So Boy, I think the film Boy was filmed around Tītahi Bay, and it's so familiar. Was it Boy or was it? I can't remember another one. Anyway, it was very familiar. And What We Do with the Shadows, in the Shadows rather, that was filmed in Wellington, and it was all it's all around where I used to hang around.
Oh, yeah. And then so you're at a place where you grew up, and all of a sudden you're on this gigantic
huge
movie set. Yeah. I mean, must have been insane.
It was hard to believe. They built Helm's Deep in this big quarry, and they built it. You know, they built these that they had to tear them down. It was so sad. But these were physical buildings. It was unbelievable. Oh, my goodness. It was so crazy. And they had a lot of kids on set because we were playing Rohan refugees, and they were, you know, I had Joe, who was only about 16 months, who was a very good baby and never any trouble.
That's so good.
But lots of kids were trouble, and they'd given them sweets when they were doing, you know, they were going around with food, because, you know, you think, oh, kids like sweets, but it sends some of them crazy.
Sugar spike.
So they stopped giving them sweets.
But they must have learned that pretty quickly.
Because it was just, it was a mistake to do that, but you don't know until it happens. And we were only in the second crew, we were in the second unit, so didn't get to see Peter Jackson, but I did get to see what's her name with the dark hair, whose dad's in Aerosmith, what's her name, Liv Tyler. And you know, she's so beautiful that you don't believe she's real. She in real life, she is so beautiful. It was a shock. We were all covered in mud, and you see this beautiful girl. God, it was so unfair.
So I was going back. So you're saying it's something you've always wanted to do and always have done.
Yeah.
Is it hard? Because I can imagine it can get difficult at times. Are there times where it gets like you, to the point where you think, oh.
What's the point?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And is it moments like doing Lunatics and being on the set of Lord of the Rings that sort of keep you going?
Yeah, because it's so amazing. It's just, it's always exciting. There's always a real buzz around whatever you're doing. I imagine if you're on a job for a couple of months, the buzz might wane a little bit because it would be exhausting. Yeah. If you're doing big long shoots on Lord of the Rings, people were doing 12 hours and they were doing night shoots. And that would have been very difficult, especially if you're in a lot of heavy makeup. But because I had a baby, I think we were only allowed to be on set for 6 hours and it was a dream.
Right. Yeah, they have all those rules.
Yeah, it was amazing. And we had our own caravan thingy. It was great. Yeah. So that's the thing. Have a baby and and yeah, but it, I mean, I can see how it can get tiring, but my goodness, it's exciting. And I don't know, it's hard to describe unless you're there and you love it. And everyone loves it. You know, the runner loves it. The cameraman loves it. The sound people are always the nicest people on set. I've always find the sound people. I don't know. They're always so quiet and kind and just the kindest people. I don't know why, but everyone is excited to be part of it. And that's why people do it for free, you know, because it's making, I don't want to sound pretentious, but you're making art in a way.
Oh, absolutely. And like I said to Stanley last week and the same with you, like you've been in these shows that literally part of history and people are going to enjoy forever and that must feel amazing to be part of.
Oh my goodness, it really is. It's that sort of pride, especially when you're proud of your performance, you know. I'm proud of my performance in Lunatics. I liked it, whereas Arctic Blast, a film I did also in Tasmania, I do not like that performance. That is a bad performance, but never mind.
Yeah, well, that's it. I guess it's going to be like everything, isn't it? You learn.
Yeah.
I guess you can, and you're probably harder on yourself than anyone else, I'd be guessing.
I think it was like a TV film. And it didn't have a big budget. I mean, the director was lovely and everyone was really lovely. It's just that I felt, I don't know, I didn't love my performance and that's that.
Well, from running the social media pages and things like that, I have to say from all the comments and everything that people say to me, Gavin definitely seems like the most popular character. I mean, there's a case for every character because I love them all.
Sure.
But I think the hype around Gavin was so much bigger. Do you think he'll ever get his own spin-off show?
Oh, man. Well, if he does and I'm not in it, I'm going to be
I was going to say, would you jump at the chance to get back into that role?
Absolutely. Because Phil, the guy that plays my husband, he sent me an article saying – someone had written, will there be a second season? And these are the people likely to be in it. And we were mentioned and it was like, oh, hopefully that will come true. But it was just someone, you know, that had come from nothing but someone's imagination. But I think Gavin certainly, surely would be someone that you would bring in again, simply for all the the fans. Because I think all his, you know, his dopers, you know, whatever, I think that was genius because it's going to
100%.
Yeah. Kids do that, don't they? They post that sort of thing and then they all started doing it as well. And if anyone says anything to me, that's what they say to me. It's, oh mate, just do a Gavin series.
I tell you what, it'd be the audience for that would be out of this world.
Oh yes. Oh,
it's so hard though. He's such an enigma. It's so hard to know what he's going to do next.
Well, that's the thing. Yeah. And I think he would not do that just because people expect him to do that.
Exactly. Yeah. It's the same with Mr. G. Like everyone's pounding for Mr. G series. And I kind of wanted to do like a little campaign to get a Mr. G series out and in a Gavin series. And I'm thinking, no.
Yeah.
I won't do that because I think the more buzz.
I think you're right. Yeah, because you'll think, well, what, you know, what else can I do to excite people? Yeah.
Yeah.
And then they do, and then he does something else, and then they, oh yeah, that's exciting. Do that. Oh no, then that. Yeah. And that's his genius, you know. He comes up with all these different characters, and how cool to be capable of doing that. It's an amazing quality. And
I've definitely got my absolutely. I've definitely got my fingers and toes crossed for Gavin's show and to see more of Auntie Helena's on that as well.
Oh, come on. Come on. Yeah, do a campaign for that. Oh, look, that'll be amazing. But I would also like to see a Mr. G show as well with Stanley as Rodney. I loved Stanley's character. I loved it because he was...
Wasn't it amazing?
Because he's such a nice... Well, you know yourself. He's such a nice
Oh, my
person.
Goodness. Yeah. Well, just like yourself, I was going to... I was so nervous in the week leading up to talking to him, and then, he was just, put me so much at ease and like to the nicest person.
Yeah.
And the same with you, I got really nervous and nicest person as well. It's just been, I feel so lucky.
I mean, I always think, my goodness, I feel lucky. I can't believe it.
Well, I put out a request on social media. Yeah. Asking for some questions, so I thought we might we might finish up with a few questions from the fans. So, first question we have from Devon said, "Which of Chris Willis' characters do you think he's most like in person?"
In person, I'm trying to think because I think, he looks like, you know, those two naughty boys. That's when I first met him, and he kind of does look like one of those two boys, but he doesn't behave like them at all.
Yeah. Well, it's funny. I think he used to use Daniel as the profile pic for a lot of his social media.
Well, I think he's got sort of the less makeup on when he does the two boys because he's quite young looking. Slight, and he just is quite a young looking person. I don't know how old he is, but he doesn't look particularly old.
No.
Yeah.
I don't know how he does it.
I don't either.
I look way older than him, and I'm I think maybe mid-40s.
Is he?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Really? Well, I wouldn't know. I thought he was about 30. Okay. Gosh. Not much younger than me. Okay. All right.
No, yeah, if you put us side by side, I think people would guess I was older every day. So
look, I'm sure he lives quite a good life. Money does help, I'm sure. But I don't think he's very much. Well, do you know, I think a lot of his female characters that he writes are very sympathetic. You know, like the prison warden.
Oh,
and I don't think he's like her. I think because he's not outspoken. He's not.
No.
Someone that would, I don't know, she used to do something weird on the internet, didn't she? I can't remember. But he's kind, you know, that kindness that he writes for women. I think that's him. He's got this.
That comes through.
Yeah. And I think that's why he's able to write female characters so well. I just think he's got, I don't know whether he's a teacher, but I think he would be a good person. He'd be a good person to be working for a charity, that sort of type person. I think he's got a lot of gumption, but it's quietly confident as well. And I think he is quietly confident in himself as well.
Yeah.
But I think he purposefully writes characters that are nothing like himself.
Yeah.
And so
That makes sense, yeah.
Yeah.
Bree said, if you weren't acting, what do you think you'd be doing? Well, I suppose you probably do lots of things in between. But
I'm lucky that I make most of my living out of acting through a company that does workplace reality theatre. So I am quite lucky then. But what would I do? I'd probably be a teacher.
Yeah, really?
Yeah, probably. I do quite like kids. I don't admit it often, but I do. I don't know. They're not jaded yet and they want to learn. And they're usually nice and it's exhausting, but it's also, I don't know, they give you energy and, but a writer, I've actually written something myself that hopefully will be produced with a Brisbane-based company later this year. I think they're called Hired Goons and they've got their own YouTube channel and their work is amazing. And
make sure you let me know. Definitely.
Don't worry.
Check it out and I'll share it across everything.
Oh, you're so lovely. See, that's how it works here. That's amazing.
I think we might have mentioned it before, but Daisy had a question, just were there ever scenes that you're doing with Gavin where that were embarrassing.
That were embarrassing.
Yeah, it's a bit of an interesting one.
Yeah, not embarrassing. Certainly not for me, apart from when his trousers fell down. That was quite embarrassing. Yeah. But you're not, it's not self-conscious. There's no, yeah. Sort of, I don't know if that's what the writer meant, whether I felt self-conscious. Yeah. And it certainly wasn't like that. I think as well, when you've got a really supportive group of people, you just do it. And you don't even think about it not being real in a way. And also, because I'm older, I don't get as self-conscious. I think when you're younger, maybe your, you know, sort of nerves might come into it. But they're so supportive and so, you know, keen to make it real and that no one's laughing at you, no one's judging you. They just want to get the best because that's all it's about. They just want to get the best out of you. It's not playing favorites. It's not seeing who's the best actor here. It's not about that.
Yeah. Oh, that's awesome. Brooke asked what Chris Lilley was like off camera. I know you were saying before he's very
quiet. Feedback. Certainly, yeah. Very, very quiet. And I think, you know, he had to, you know, when we do a scene and when we broke for lunch, I imagine he was off trying to start piecing things together and doing the next bit. And so, you know, there was no real big heart-to-hearts because he was so busy. But he was always incredibly supportive and just kind. And I just noticed the way he was with the kids. He was very, very careful, particularly with Joe, who he wasn't able to get cold because it would make him unwell. And so he was so mindful of Joe. Joe was so nice. Gosh, he's the loveliest child. Aww. And he was so eager to please because he loved Chris Lilley and thought Chris Lilley was the everything. I mean, he was just see his face. Oh, he was like, so cool. Pinch me, you know? And, that was beautiful. And I think Chris Lilley was like, oh, gosh, I'm only Chris Lilley. You know, don't, I'm not anything special. And I think he's always sort of surprised at anyone thinking that he's great. But
a lot of people always seems so humble when people bring up any of his sort of success or thinks he's famous. Or...
Yeah. But he was always pleased because at the end when we wrapped and I was so grateful and excited and, you know, you could see he was pleased that I was pleased to be involved in that. And because he'd done that and that was him and he'd been able to do that for another person. And what an amazing feeling that would be.
Beck asked from Instagram.
Yeah.
I think we touched on this, I think, before, but
the
question was, what was it like having somebody in their 40s playing a 12 or 13-year-old character?
Yeah, because I didn't realize he was in his 40s. Not that that matters anyway.
Oh, no, no.
But it was – you just didn't think about it.
I guess adult would be the word, like having an adult
play. Yeah, an adult play a kid. Because he – because of his mannerisms and because he was with Joe, the boy playing my son, Dylan.
Yes.
He just – was a kid and it's so hard to describe and people might find that unbelievable, but it was like I didn't think of him as Chris Lilley. I just thought of him as Gavin and I couldn't not think of him as Gavin, and I don't know why. I think it was just because he was able to sort of inhabit this character. He seemed smaller than me, he seemed kid sized. I didn't look at the makeup, do you know what I mean? I just didn't notice that because he had this sort of insolent look in his eye that was not like he is when he's being Chris Lilley. It was this sort of sneer.
Wow.
And it was like a kid. It's so hard to describe, but you can't.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah, you can't not.
Yeah, I guess it's something that would be hard to describe unless you were there.
Yeah.
But I think that's a good point what you're saying, how because he's with Dylan and the little gang he formed, the Froppers.
And Harry, yeah.
I think it's very another smart thing he does. He's kind of he casts well around the main character.
Gosh, yes.
He's got your character who's, you know, really supportive and caring.
Yeah.
And then he's also got people sort of around the character's age.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the way he attracts them is so good.
Yeah. It's I mean, gosh, because he saw a lot of people for every character, you know, and they very carefully chose people and it shows as well, as you say, yeah. You know, like with Harry, he was just like this little adult. He was really, really professional. He was really, really nice, but he was like, you know, 20-year-old and a 12-year-old sport. Yeah. Very professional. And Millie, again, you know, very grown up, but able to be a kid. And then there was It's Joe. And I think, you know, I think everyone could tell that Joe was special. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because he was so lovely. God, he was so lovely. And he worked so hard and he was so enthusiastic. And yeah.
It's so great to hear that. Once again, that there's someone he looked up to, and then all of a sudden he's.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
Yeah. Oh, it was so lovely. But, you know, things work out like that sometimes, and it's great.
Yeah. Pippi from Instagram said, it would have been so hard to keep yourself from laughing during the scene. Yeah. How did you do it?
Sometimes I didn't. Sometimes. Yeah. There was a scene where we had to walk up the steps, and he said something like, because he was,
I have to go. Is that when he arrived?
Yeah. And we got the steps and he said, he was supposed to say, I've just got to go and drop the kids off at the pool. But then he said, I've just got to go for a Mary Poppins. And we just laughed and we couldn't stop laughing. But it was just so out of the blue.
Oh, that would be hard, especially.
Yeah.
It was. Like you said, it's not scripted. You don't know what's coming.
And
he drops a line like that. That's so cool.
It is.
That's one of my favorite scenes, actually.
It's so, oh, he's so silly. Yeah, I love that bit. But I used to turn my face sometimes to stop myself laughing. Right. I don't know whether it was sort of hidden or not, whether they could cut around it, but it was.
It would be a bit, I've got no idea, but I imagine it would be difficult because somebody's there doing something so funny, but.
Yeah. Yeah,
you're probably also mindful that well, I don't want to ruin many takes.
Yeah, certainly at the beginning it's like, oh God, don't laugh for God's sake. But and often the funny bits aren't funny to you as well. Yeah. So you don't feel like laughing. Yeah. And you do them sometimes a lot, so yeah.
Oh yeah, so after a certain amount of times.
There's certain things, like if you've got to get in and out of something, sometimes you have to do that a lot because, you know, sometimes you slip and fall down, or it's not just the talking bits. It's the sort of trying to get the sound right and, everything else.
And the last question we have is from Imogen, which was, what was your favourite scene?
Oh, my favourite scene. Gosh, I really liked the fuck it's a snake scene. I really like that first. Pretty funny. It was just fun to do because the snake looked real as well, and so I've sort of had a real reaction to that one. And also the song, when they do the song and everyone was there and we have him sliding down on the thing, and then they're doing their lovely performance, and my lovely son is singing the fuck song.
Oh my goodness, and that must have seemed so surreal.
It was great. But it was so much of it was great. And I like being with the animals as well. And
That was great. Yeah.
Yeah. They were, oh gosh, those pigs were quite scary. I didn't like the little pigs.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I didn't like them. They wouldn't play ball. They would not play ball at all.
And
the big pig was friendly, but they couldn't get it into a container to take it home.
And
I just remember watching the poor animal handlers trying to push it into this container, and it just wouldn't go because it was so big.
Well, that's great. Last episode, Stanley was saying how difficult Celine was, and now with the pigs, I think there's a pattern there.
Animals, you don't work with children. Well, because animals just do what they want. You can't get them to do anything they don't want to do, unless they're a dog.
Yeah, very true. It's not like I can sit there and explain to them.
No. If they've had enough, they have had enough. And a pig is so big that you don't want to annoy it.
Oh, well, I loved absolutely every scene that you guys are in.
Oh, it was cool. Well, so do I.
One of my favorite parts. Well, and I don't want to take up too much more of your time, we go.
Yeah.
Are there any projects out there that you're working on or that are coming up that you like us to keep an eye out for?
Yes, I've got a film coming out called The Dealer.
Dealer?
It was actually filmed near where I live in the Yarra Ranges, and it's quite a serious film. I play a detective, and it deals with sort of drugs and suicide, quite serious matters. But I think that's going to have I think the premiere is coming up in a couple of months, and I think it's being shipped to various distributors. Like, I think they're called Mad Men, and I think Lionsgate was sort of interested in having a look. So fingers crossed, because it's just an independent. Francisco Seguin, he was the chap that wrote it and directed it, and it's a sort of a for love project, but hopefully it will be a for money project.
Yeah, absolutely. So The Dealer.
Yeah, it's called The Dealer. Yeah, yeah. And did Stanley mention Addicted?
He did.
Yeah.
And he mentioned that you're also in that role, that show.
Yeah, I'm really horrible to him.
Really?
Yeah, really horrible. I play a very different character.
Well, that one sounds like a fascinating project as well.
Sex Addiction Clinic. Yeah. Let's hope it gets aired at some stage in its life. Yeah.
Well, I've got my fingers crossed for both of those. They sound absolutely amazing.
And certainly look out for a series called Wiccan Sisters, which is the one I wrote myself and will hopefully get an airing.
Yes, absolutely.
I'll be sending you that as soon as anything's filmed.
Yep.
Don't you worry.
So, guys, look out for those projects. As soon as I hear about them, I'll be putting them out on the Chris Lilly Fans Facebook page. And on Instagram as well. Sorry, my dog's out there.
I know, I can hear.
Sorry.
That's all right. You're saying I've had enough now.
Yep. No, but definitely look out on the Chris Lilly Fans Facebook page, and any of those projects, once they're out, I'll be sharing them far and wide.
Oh, yay.
And thank you so much for being on Aussie Comedy Legends podcast. I can safely say you are a true legend. All the best for your upcoming projects, and I look forward to seeing lots more of you on our screens.
Thank you so much, Joel. It's an absolute pleasure. And hello to everyone that's listening. Thank you for listening.
Hey, everyone. Wow, what an episode we just had. I honestly could have listened to Anne all day. What an amazing, wonderful person. I'm just so lucky. I can't believe how lucky I am on this show. 2 weeks in a row, had Stanley last week, turned out to be just a top bloke. And this week, Anne McCaffrey French. Oh, incredible. Big shout out to the special guest at the end there, my dog, decided to jump in there. Well, guys, like I said in the past, I don't do this. Obviously, this isn't professional. I do this from a little home office in my home. And it's something I love doing, but you're going to get the occasional guest appearance, a bark in the background. but I thought I'd leave it in. He deserves his 5 minutes of fame too. But no, thanks again to Anne for doing that, taking so much time out of her day to help someone like myself out who's just getting started with this podcast. If you do enjoy this, guys, please, please, please share and like and just spread it far and wide. I do have more guests lined up, but the more we get this out there, the more people we can hopefully get on board, and we can share some more just incredible Aussie stories, which I've really enjoyed doing. All right, that's enough from me. Thank you for listening to episode 2. Episode 3 will hopefully be out within next week as well. Until next time, I'll see you later.